Sports Lit 101 time here. Bruce Pratt with us on Downtown. And it looks like Christmas came a few days late for you, Bruce.
Well, what happened is all of the presses that send us books send out emails in the fall saying these will be our titles. They're coming out first of the year, and then they have usually a release in February, one in April, or different times of the year. This is just what we got from the University of Nebraska.
Wow.
And this does not include next year's books.
Yeah.
And we'll be getting books from Illinois, from Syracuse, from Rutgers, from Texas, from other presses, from major houses too. So I just thought I'd talk about some of the things we're going to be talking about. I want to mention that next week, Neil Cohen, from who wrote We Unbeautiful Watchers, will be on with us to talk about his book. I talked about it a while back, and we've sort of got a strategy because it's a very complex book. But he'll talk about really what fandom in the big sense has become and how the games have changed as time has evolved and how we've looked at athletes has changed. But so we'll talk to him next week. The book I'm going to talk about the week after that is called When the Crowd Didn't Roar by Kevin Cowherd, not Colin Cowherd, thank God. How Baseball's Strangest Game Ever Gave a Broken City Hope. Now, people may remember that on April 29th in 2015, Freddie Gray, an African-American, was killed by the police in Baltimore. I'm not here to get into the politics or the mechanics of what happened. I wasn't there. But I know that the city erupted into riots, and then shortly afterwards, 36 hours later, there was a baseball game played, and it was played at Camden Yards, and no one was allowed inside other than the players and the members of the team and security. And the book starts off, as I said, this is coming up, so I haven't finished this one yet, but it comes up with, it begins with with Adam Jones waking up and thinking, what is this going to be like? I'm going to play a baseball game, the only time ever since 1899 when Major League Baseball became organized that a game was played without a crowd.
Wow.
You know, we've heard about college or high school hockey or basketball games being played without crowds because of a feared violence, but that's not it. Now, Jeff Goldberg, who wrote Unrivaled, the great book about Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma, has a book out with a foreword by Doris Burke, who I think is really underrated.
She's great.
She's really good. Called Bird at the Buzzer, UConn, Notre Dame, and a Women's Basketball Classic, which, you know, they're I'm thinking with all the things that Amy Vachon and the Maine women's basketball team are overcoming these days, a little look at in the dark of winter at some women's basketball would be good. Now, here's a book I have not even begun to look at, but I think it's going to be really good. It's called National Pastimes by Katarina Bonzel. It's called Cinema, Sports, and Nation. And it'll really talk about the relationship between, like, Rocky Balboa and the American Dream. You know, people often forget that movies are fiction, you know, and they think, yeah, I'm going to be like Rocky. Well, there was no Rocky, right? I'm really looking forward to getting into that. And then another one I thought, Beyond DiMaggio, Italian Americans in Baseball. Now, we did a book on famous Jewish people in baseball. We did one on famous Black people in baseball. So I thought it'd be pretty interesting if we do one on famous Italian people. And the foreword is by Dom DiMaggio. So I think it's pretty good. I don't know when this came out. This is not a brand new book, just one I hadn't seen, but I'm looking forward to that. And of course, Dom DiMaggio, as people may remember who were old enough, had quite a career for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, he sure did. The Little Professor.
Yeah, The Little Professor. And their essays and things that then, so people that will remember the Johnny Sallow and the Great Bunyan Derbies, the people where people ran across the country. I mean, they literally ran the entire length of the United States, averaging 30 to 40 miles a day. One of the forgotten people from that was a guy named Eddie Gardner. Eddie Gardner, an African-American who ran into, so of course, you know, running through the South for him was way different than it was for the others and other parts. And it's by Charlie Kastner, who wrote those other books and who was a really good guest when we had him on, getting him back. And now here's one. How many years was the Professional Israeli Baseball League around?
I do not know, sir.
Just one.
Wow.
The story of the first and only season of the Israel Baseball League by Aaron Pribble, called Pitching in the Promised Land. I mean, if you had that idea, then you had to write the book.
Yeah.
It's a great title. This has got a lot of pictures in it. Again, I've just sort of flipped through it, but apparently there were times when restrictions were lessened so that people from the Israeli occupied areas of Palestine could go to baseball games. People could go back and forth. It was sort of porous, but it only lasted a year. Now, this is a sore spot for many Red Sox and Yankee fans, I suppose, but this is a book edited by Mark Armour. That's the biographies of the Great Eight, the 1975 Cincinnati Reds. And it's interesting because when you think about the Big Red Machine, it's easy to forget how many of them were really good. Mm. People remember Rose and Bench, and then there was a guy named Perez. There was Dan Dreesen and George Armbruster, and there was
David Concepcion
and Joe Morgan, and I mean
George Foster.
I mean, there were a lot of really good players. I mean, think about it. When it wasn't until the steroid era that an American League or a National Leaguer hit as many home runs as Foster.
Right, he was the only guy in
54,
only guy in the 70s to hit 50 in a season.
So I'm interested in looking at that. I don't know. A lot of it may just be stats and stuff. This is called Called Out But Safe, A Baseball Umpire's Journey. By Al Clark with a forward by Marty Appel. What sounds good in here is there'll be a lot of times about when he finally lost it with an Earl Weaver or a Billy Martin or one of those guys. He's talking about what would improve officiating in the major leagues. And, you know, I'm beginning to think that maybe getting rid of all cameras might be a really good way to start.
Yeah.
Since I don't even want to get started on what happened to the Saints. Let's just not go there. But then a book that I'm really looking forward to because it's a series of essays. It's called Culture on Two Wheels. And a lot of these people who are in this are people whose books about cycling we've read. Melody Hoffman is in here, Jeremy Withers. I haven't looked at absolutely all of them, but it's a way of looking. You know, the bicycle still remains an enigma in our society. For some people, one of my former athletes at John Baps, Chris Vogler, is a great, great young man. He spends 6 months of every year. He's got his job arranged so he can cycle places all around the world. He's in Bolivia at the moment, right? There's the little kid learning to ride and the freedom that you get when you can go to your friend's house without having to walk, you know. I think that whole thing with a bicycle is how it's been once the tool of the elite then it became the common man's way of getting around. I'm really looking forward to this. It's called Culture on Two Wheels. And I was looking the other day. We've had a lot of cycling books over the years.
Yes, we have.
They've all been good. Nothing any better than The Two-Wheeled World of George B. Thayer, which was a great book.
And also from University of Nebraska Press, and we've already talked online, set it up with the author, I believe it's pronounced Bakuljian, Brad Bakuljian, his book, The Wax Pack. I can't wait for this. He took a pack of 1986 baseball cards and decided he was going to reach out and find all the players in that pack, and it looks great.
Yeah, that one is... I don't know if that's dropped yet.
It's coming out in April.
Yeah, it's coming out in April. And there are about eight more really fascinating books coming from Nebraska in the spring. So yeah, we're gonna be supplied with books. And as I said, Syracuse and Illinois and Texas and Rutgers and other places are giving us books too. So
I like that. It's funny. You know, well, we talk about that, and we were chatting before the show how. Yeah, I mean, it's been going for a while, but certainly within the last year, we've seen even more. Artists, managers, representatives, PR people reach out to us and say, hey, we've got some people that would like to come on your show. And we love that. And I think part of it is it happens with the authors. It happens with actors and musicians that they come on and have a good experience and tell their people. And boom, we start getting even better guests.
And I'll tell you who's helping us. Jack Gilden from Collision of Wills.
Yeah.
Upton Bell.
Oh, God, yes.
And Michael Begnall, some of the other people we've had on. Every time we tweet or post something about this on Facebook, they retweet and post it with a comment, you know, the good show or you're so right or great book or whatever. So we've really got a national base now. Well, actually, with all the Canadians we know, we've got an international base of writers and publishers and the like. So it's been, it's really exciting. I've got a lot of reading to do.
We got a huge shout out because while we were on vacation, we also did our second annual Downtown Book Awards and celebrated a lot of the books and authors that we had on this year. And a lot of them responded, and we got I'll never find it because it's pretty far back, I think, in my Twitter feed, but got a great Twitter shout out from Michael Powell.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that when I was in Albany with visiting my grandchildren. Saw that one. And you know, that book is really starting to get the kind of attention it should have gotten to begin with. That Canyon Dreams, we didn't have a better book last year. No, we had a lot of great books.
I would agree with that.
None better than that.
Sports Lit 101. Bruce with us every Wednesday on the program.